When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight while we try to connect with Adam Hill, who covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We're going to kind of swing it, and we're going to go to triple option. So, Charlie, we'll let you take a swing at it first.
All right, guys, I got something lined up for you that I think is pretty interesting. We've talked a little bit about this as well. The Saints at 5-10 right now in Tankathon. They're picking 10th for the 2025 draft. And, you know, a lot of the times when you finish upwards of 5-12, you're picking, obviously, top 10. But this year's a little bit different, guys. I mean, I went back and looked at last year. I remember the Chargers were 5-12 when they picked Joe Alt at number 5. But if you're looking at last year's draft order, like, you know, Carolina was 2-15. They gave the Bears that number one overall pick. And then you had 3, 4, and 13 teams with Washington, New England, and Arizona. Once again, the Chargers were 5-12, picking at 5. The Giants and the Titans were both 6-11. But then the Falcons at 7-10 were picking at 8 last year. Guys, I think 7-10 would probably have you picking 13. It's so bad. Like, there's so many bad teams in the NFL this season. If currently on Tankathon, you have the Giants with 2-13. New England, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas, all 3-12 this season. Carolina 4-11, New York 4-11, Chicago 4-11, and then you have the Saints at 5-10. I think it's going kind of underreported how bad the bottom, basically, third of the NFL really is this year. That, you know, a 5-12 record, if the Saints really do lose their final two games, that would have probably given them a top five pick last year. Right now, guys, it's a bad year to be, you know, close to bad, because there's so many teams that are awful. So 5-12, I mean, you might be sitting at 8 or 9 at best, if not probably around 10 where they're picking right now.
Exactly. And so all this stuff about tanking, again, and I throw it back, if you do that at your job and see how long you're going to last. But a lot of people will write it and say it about tanking, but yet you don't understand how this draft order really is not going to move much.
It's
Saints
so bad
wise,
at the top. I mean, it's
because
just,
it really is a huge difference.
Well, if the Raiders are trying to tank and you play.
Well, they didn't tank last week.
But they won. They won, and the Raiders fans are all ticked off.
Yeah, because they wanted Shamir.
Didn't they go from Deion's like one board. Or two to number six?
They're number
Charlie
six right now in the current order, guys. And if you're looking at it, the Raiders are one of six teams in the NFL this year that are already at 12 losses with 2 weeks left to go. And once again, if you're looking at what it was last year, there were only five teams that had 12 or fewer losses. And we still have 2 weeks left.
Yeah, like, still have two games.
It's just awful. The Giants, the Patriots, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas, they're all terrible teams this year. And I mean, even if the Saints do lose out and go 5-12, once again, my point to everyone listening, how high can they go? I mean, maybe upwards of 8.
8, yeah.
And that would be about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be about it.
8, 9, or 10, somewhere around
so
there.
So here's my deal. They've not picked well. I don't care if they pick in 12, 14, 18, 22. If the order adjusts two or three picks, all of a sudden, because they have a higher pick, they're going to pick better? Come on. This team's not picking well, not because of where they pick.
Well,
it's who they pick.
And you know, Charlie and Mike, whoever they pick, 8, 9, or 10th, whatever, Ain't no developmental.
You better play.
How about somebody comes and play? Take every position, maybe, but running back. Every position is up, and they're contributing from the get-go. I even say, okay, if it's a skilled player, okay, well, that cat's up for rookie of the year. He's so damn good. And that, we don't need to develop nobody. But we need somebody contributing from the get-go. And not know, oh, be patient. You know, we're trying to develop. No, we don't need that. But we had.
I don't want to hear about no patient for no early round pick.
Yeah, we had enough of development with Davenport and Peyton Turner and all that stuff. No,
And all this hype with Kendra Miller. Okay, Kendra what did Miller. He do last night? Man, he make mistake after mistake. He doesn't pick up a blitz.
Kendra
he doesn't hit the right hole a couple times. All of a sudden, he's watching. Mims is playing.
Kendra Miller averaged 1.9 yards a carry. and you know what? And now think about this, Mike. Okay, Kendra Miller ran 8 times for 15 yards. Mims ran 4 times for 16. So Mims averaged 4 yards a carry. So Mims actually did better. Now, I think I wish Rattler would have been a little more touch on those check down throws to him. You know, but if it hit your hands, catch it, but kind of thing. But Mike and Charlie, I'm going with this, with my triple option. In honor of, I still call it 1AA football, even though it's FCS and the title game. And I'm going to bring up the future of the NCAA and the FCA title games going back to Tennessee. You know, they play in Frisco, Texas, you know, just north of Dallas. But, boy, when you think about this, it is truly the Midwest or the Dakotas or Montana. North Dakota State, the Bison, beat South Dakota State 28-21.
That was a hell of a game. I actually watched it.
Yeah, so the Bison beat the Jackrabbits. And then Montana State, the Bobcats, my best friend, went to University of Montana. That's the Grizzlies. This is the Bobcats. So Montana State beat South Dakota, the Coyotes, 31-17. So you're going to have North Dakota State versus Montana State in the championship game. But that's not why. I'm just telling you, that's what's coming up. It brought to my attention. If you look at the NCAA, it's taking the football championship subdivision title game back to Tennessee. Mike, you know, I was part of this when it was part in Chattanooga. Do you know I gave, like, the Heisman Trophy of the 1AA? I gave that to Brian Westbrook at a ceremony.
Oh, with the Eagles?
Yes.
It was with Villanova?
Yeah, Villanova. I gave him the damn trophy. I drove up from Atlanta to Chattanooga. We had a banquet and all that, and I gave him the award. It's like the 1AA Heisman Trophy. We all know what Brian Westbrook meant to the Eagles.
He was a really good player.
So, you know, Walter Payton and all that stuff. But anyway, so the NCAA Football Championship subdivision game is going back to Tennessee when the game's at the end of 2025. Obviously, this year they're still going to be in Frisco, but in 2025, they're going back into 2026 seasons. You know where they're playing? They're not going back to Chattanooga. They're going to play in Nashville on Vanderbilt's campus. You know where they built that new stadium? They're going to Nashville, Vanderbilt's campus, this season. It's at Toyota Stadium, January 6th in Frisco, Texas, which will host the game for the record 15th season in a row. So, like I said, I was part of that late 90s and, you know, early turn of the century when it was in Chattanooga. Now, NCAA officials, they said that if you look, they looked at all other sites and all that. But the one thing why they're still in Frisco, because they wanted to transition, who's going to pay for the game and all that. But they looked at other sites, but because of the multi-year renovation project, planned at the 20,500-seat stadium. Now, it's a professional soccer stadium. That's in Frisco, and it's less than 30 miles north of downtown Dallas, and we can't wait for that. So it's not going to be ready. So they're going to Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt's campus stadium is in the process. Mike, the multi-year renovation, that's going to be completed by next year. And guess what? In 2025, you know who's playing at Vanderbilt? the LSU Fighting Tigers. So they could be playing in that new stadium, and that's where they're going to have the 1AA championship, or I should say the football championship subdivision, which is, I don't know, they'll probably be in the game next year or be in the hunt. It'll be one of them damn Dakotas or Montana or something.
One of the things, too, is the Titans are building a new stadium right outside of Nashville. And so eventually that game will be played in that state, that new stadium. Now,
so you're talking about the LSU Vanderbilt game?
No.
Okay.
The championship game.
So they're going to go from the Vanderbilt campus
to the new facilities in Nashville that Titans will build. And man, they've laid it out. It's a couple of $1 billion that they're spending on a brand new stadium in Nashville for
the
Titans.
Well, it just sounds more sexy. I don't know, Nashville versus Frisco, Texas. I know it's 30 miles north of Dallas, but.
Yeah, because first thing you bring up, Frisco, what? You in California?
Yeah. You're not thinking of Texas.
You're not thinking of Texas,
a suburb of Dallas, yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
I saw this stat. It really caught my eye. Quarterbacks who have been sacked the most this year. And number one on the list is Caleb Williams. Now, Caleb is no stiff guy in the pocket. He's been sacked 60 times this year. The season isn't over with.
That means he don't know what he's doing.
And I was fixing to say
that. No, he don't know what he's doing.
And so, man, when you talk about 60 sacks and you still got a couple games left to play.
He's ad-libbing. You can't run around as the NFL. You can ad-lib and make plays in high school and college. The NFL, they'll freaking track you down and slam you. But I mean, come on.
The other list is interesting. The two on the list, C.J. Stroud. Now, he's not playing behind the five blocks of Grant.
So has he regressed, Mike? Sophomore slump?
I think that, and somewhat. Some of it, too, with the receiving court has been knocked out. Man, you lose Tank Dell. He lost Nico Collins for a long period. And
man,
remember Stephon Diggs.
But like, he lost Tank Dell. I mean, he was crying like a baby. I'm like, man, is Tank Dell going to die or something? I'm like, I mean, I show emotion. I cry. You know, I can say that as a man that I've cried, but if you look at C.J. Stroud during the game.
He looked emotionally upset.
Yes, and I think Tank Dell's his best friend.
Best
he knew
friend,
all
yes.
what he's been going through, and I think that definitely affected him. But I was like, whoa. And when I saw that happen, I said, he's not going to be able to get it done the rest of the game.
When that happened, I said, that's it.
Yeah,
the Texans, they're not going to win this
game. Right.
So Stroud's got 47 sacks. Geno Smith, a veteran player, and he's not a stiff guy either, along with Sam Darnold, they've gotten 45 sacks, taking 45 sacks.
You know, sometimes your arm can be too good. That all of a sudden you always trust in your arm and Mike, you want to hang in there at the last second instead of just making a positive play and getting the ball out of your hands. I'm telling you, everybody wants to blame when you see all these sacks. Oh, all of these quarterbacks, the offensive line must suck. It's not necessarily always the case. It is the team's stat when you look at sacks. It's the running backs and tight ends blocking like the offensive line. the quarterback knowing always where his outlets are, and the receivers doing the right thing on timing and all that. So when they say, I'm not saying the Bears offensive line is good, but I'm saying Caleb Williams might make the Bears offensive line even worse than what it really
worse
is.
Worse, sir.
Guys. Yeah. I guarantee you put a guy like Matthew Stafford or some guy on that Bears team.
He ain't getting no 60 sacks.
No, he might get sacked 30. He might get sacked. He might get after that.
Think about the next two guys. One, he don't know what he's doing. That's Will Levis. Titans. I mean, he's a deer in the headlights.
But he makes a great Mayo commercial, Duke Mayo, showing his guns and all. Like Duke
and
Mayo.
The other guy, Justin Herbert, with 40 sacks.
Whoa, now
that surprised me. Of all the guys, Herbert with 40, because Harbaugh's always preached about pass protection and running the football, offensive line play.
Well, and you know, that's surprising because Harbaugh would be one that would get that ball out versus, you know, with Justin Herbert. But I'm telling you, Justin Herbert, you know, they think they can fit it between everyone, sort of hanging in there. Then they take a sack. Oh, if I take a sack, I'll make up for it. But you know what? A lot of these players, you know one thing they don't want to do? You know, say you got to know where your outlets are. You know what they don't want to do, a lot of them? Throw a damn incompletion. You know, the completion percentage. They don't want to be like... Okay, you can wait, Mike, and all of a sudden, I'm a 50% passer in this day and age.
You're too worried about your stats.
Yeah, no,
I think that is in the back. I agree with you.
I'm telling you, I played it. I know it. I know our quarterbacks think. They go like, damn, I want to make a good play and all that, but I can't be throwing all these damn incompletions. They'll be like, I'm not accurate with the football. No, the quarterbacks know that. I guarantee they know that. Guys, I'm going to take a sack instead of throwing incompletion.
The inverse as well, as far as the fewest sacks by team, I think it's pretty interesting to kind of throw up there as well. The Bills have only given up 14 sacks, and I think there's kind of a trend here, and I think you'll notice it as soon as I kind of run down this list until maybe you get to, you know, L.A. and the Rams. But the Bills have given up 14 sacks this year, the Packers 16, the Broncos 22. I know the Broncos offensive line, that's also been kind of underreported. They've been playing awesome this year. The Ravens at 23, the Cardinals at 26, and the Colts at 27. I don't know, guys. I'm seeing a lot of mobile quarterbacks in that list as well.
Exactly. I think that does help. But guess what? Jaden Daniels has been sacked 38 times, and so has Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Both those guys are mobile quarterbacks.
Now think about this. Jordan Love is not going to run like Jaden Daniels.
No, he's not.
But he might extend plays. How many times will we sack Jordan Love?
Zero.
And Jaden Daniels, we sacked him 8 times. So I'm telling you, it depends, the rhyme or reason. But Charlie, Mike, who's the lowest sack quarterback?
No, it's Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen's only been sacked 14 times this year.
No, and Charlie, remember I told you I was so proud of myself and played 60 games. In 15 games, I got sacked 12 times in 15 games. And then the last game, I got sacked 3 times, so I had 15 sacks in 16 games when we played the Bills. And I was so proud of that because, you know, Dan Marino, get rid of the ball. He got sacked like 24 times. And I'm telling you, I know what it takes. And it's still to be like a 60% passer. It's knowing where to go with the outlets. And like, for instance, a check down. I'm a big fan of yards after the catch. I was like, I'd throw it, dump it off. I'd be telling Dalton Hill, you go. Go, go. I'm yelling. Just go. All I do is throw it about 8 yards. And I'm on your juke. All of a sudden, look at Don. He made a couple of people miss. It's like a 50-yard touchdown. So it looks like I'm at it through a 50-yard bomb. You don't have to throw it a country mile. You got to know where to go with the ball and be accurate. Drew Brees did a great job.
Oh, Drew was famous for that,
you know, you do like a option route, depending on the leverage. You can't throw it behind the receiver. You can't throw it too high, too low. Be accurate, even the defender, so when they catch the ball, they can turn it up. Then all of a sudden, it looks like a simple pass. Oh, that should have been a 6-yard gain. Then it's a 12, 13-yard gain.
Okay.
That's what you got. You got to be accurate with the ball and get it out of your hands. Let the playmakers be playmakers.
Just think about how many offensive linemen, actually by the Packers, how many offensive linemen can you name me from Buffalo?
No, the same thing. No,
so you're not talking about teams loaded with all kind of offensive line talent, but as a group, They are very good.
How they mesh together.
That does
how
matter
they're all
also.
In sequence. That's what I'm telling you. A lot of times I watch the Saints, and I can't think of the game right now. Mike, help me out here. Was it maybe the Giants? It was like one game where it looks like the offensive line is not blocking well. And I'm like saying, what's that the offensive line? The damn tight ends ain't blocking nobody.
You remember Troy Tomorrow? Foster Morrow, boy, he missed a couple
was
of them.
That the Giants?
Yes.
Was that the Giants?
Juwan Johnson also.
I'm like saying, okay, you think, oh, the offensive line sucks. No. They're part of that. The freaking tight ends. They're getting beat inside. Who is that guy? Burns?
Brian Burns. Every play was
Brian
in the
Burns
backfield.
Burns was burning them. I'm like, come on. And then the offensive line gets to blame as the damn tight end. That don't get beat on the inside. You got to let them go around. But they say they want a running back. What do you see a running back? They come in.
And he whiffs.
And then he whiffs. And then all of a sudden, oh, the offensive line sucks. No, the damn running back pass blocking sucks.